Take your Bibles and let's go to Romans chapter 5. We're going to begin to look at one verse tonight, Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Now, the whole message goes to verse 11, but we're going to finish it at a later date. Romans chapter 5, we're going to talk about why the saved can never be lost. Romans chapter 5, now this passage in verses 1 through 11 could be called the benefits of justification, but also it has a deeper implication, that is the assurance of the believer in the salvation. And so Romans chapter 5, verse 1, I'll be there in a minute, catch up with you. Now, how many of you ever studied after the Puritans? You know who we're talking about, Puritans? They said this, you have to do the sin work before you do the grace work. You have to get somebody lost before you can get them saved. And they were good about that. And so Paul, in our text tonight, having established in verses 1 through 3 that all men are sinful and bound for an eternal hell without Christ, and then also in chapter 4, having established the doctrine of justification, being declared righteous by faith in Jesus Christ and his finished work, he now, as Paul often does, he anticipates questions from the people he's writing to, and he's going to answer the question, can we be sure that justification will last forever? Now, look at chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And the whole thing goes down to verse 11, but we're not going to cover all that tonight because of conference. Now, why is chapter 5, verse 1 through 11 in the Bible? Well, Paul wanted to accomplish two purposes. Number one, our justification is not simply a guarantee of heaven, but it is also a source of tremendous blessing that we can enjoy here and now. I don't know about you, but it puts a different step in my walk knowing that I've been justified by God. Amen? I'm in Christ, inseparable union with Jesus Christ. And then secondly, he writes chapter 5, 1 through 11, to assure his readers that justification is a lasting thing. Paul counters the view that salvation is received by faith and preserved by good works. You see, there are people like that. They believe, well, Galatians were like that. How are you going to perfect what I began in the Spirit, right? By getting yourself circumcised again, adding to what salvation through grace and faith is. And so there are people that believe, yes, I'm saved by grace, but I can lose it, you know. And I always ask them a question. Number one, how do you know when you lose it? What do you got to do to lose it? And how do you know when you get it back, right? Right. And so it's just kind of unbelievable sometimes. If our salvation is dependent on our faithfulness, there is no security at all. Right? Some believe that we're kept by the power of God. And what God had begun in divine power, they have to show, again, good works. Now, we believe that good works happen, but after salvation. They don't save anybody, you know, like that. In 2 Timothy 2:13, Paul said this, if we believe not, yet he abideth faithful, he cannot deny himself. If God has justified us, he cannot unjustify us. My purpose in preaching in Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 11, that weighed heavily on my heart, that in these dark days, the church of God needs assurance. And as I look at this text again, my purpose is not to get you to doubt your salvation. My purpose is not to give you false assurance either. The Holy Spirit will take care of that. But my purpose is to help us understand that we can have full assurance of our salvation. And again, I'm just preaching the text. I'm not saying anybody's lost, anybody's saved. I'm not talking about anybody having false assurance. I'm not talking about, you know, by the way, there are people that are saved and they walk around with doubt all the time, but they're saved. You know, and then there are some that have a false premise of their salvation. We're going to talk about that in a few moments. So tonight we're going to, and next week, we're going to learn what God declared us. He declared us righteous in Jesus Christ. And he gave us spiritual blessings in chapter 5, 1 through 11, that assure us that we cannot be ever be lost. Now, the title of the message, remember, was Why the Saved Can Never Be Lost. I didn't say anything about anybody that joins a church or walks an aisle. I didn't say about anybody that's baptized. You know, because, you know, anybody can do that, never be born again, right? I'm talking about those that are saved, those that obey the gospel that Glenn talked about this morning, those that believe the right gospel, right? Those that show a transformed life. Evidence. You know, if you're born again, there's going to be a transformation. You're going to be different. Right. In Christ, your new creations in Christ Jesus. And then those that give evidence of a divine work in your heart by fruit, right? And those are evidences. So those that are saved, we're qualifying tonight with that. Now tonight, we're going to look at the first one. All right? See there? See how it works? All right, there's the first one. You ain't going to get the rest of them. You're going to have to come back and get them. And I know what y'all are thinking. If he thinks I'm coming back, you know. But anyway, the first one is peace with God. Look again in verse 1. We can have full assurance of our salvation because the believer has peace with God. Therefore, being justified by faith, verse 1, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, that this is, verse 1 is from where all these benefits come from. Verse 1 is from where the other five assurances of our salvation come from. If we are not justified, we have no hope of the rest of them, right? God has declared us justified, declared us righteous, and he will not unjustify us. It is a work of God, not a work of man, okay? He has declared us right with him in verse 1. And because of that, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, see that word therefore again? What is it therefore? Well, it connects Paul's argument that he was teaching in Romans 3 and 4. Because our justification by faith, we have present possession, which indicates something already possessed. You know, there are a lot of believers walking around living like paupers and not understanding what they have. But you are justified and you have peace with God. He says you have it. It's not something we seek. It's something he gave us at the instant that we were saved, right? It's a work of the Holy Spirit of God. And then many blessings await us at the resurrection and that glorification. But right now, we have peace with God. It's instantaneous when we believe. You say, well, Brother Ken, what about the peace of God? The peace with God deals with our relationship. It deals with being justified. The peace of God deals with our daily walk, deals with sanctification, deals with our fellowship, right? Now, because I have peace with God, sometimes I don't have the peace of God, right? Because my walk is not what it ought to be. And again, he's not going to impute to us our sin again. The Bible tells us that. He imputed to us the righteousness of Christ when we believed, when we repented and believed in Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. And he imputed our sin to Jesus, and he imputed the righteousness of Christ to our account. And he's not going to unimpute us, if that's a word. He's not going to impute to us our sin again. In other words, what I'm saying is he paid the penalty of our sin, and Christ is not going to impute to us again that sin that condemned us before a holy God. You know what I'm saying? Do y'all understand that tonight? I mean, he's not going to impute to us our sin again that condemns us before God, because he's given us the righteousness of Christ. Now, apart from salvation through Jesus Christ, every human being is at enmity with God. There are many people in liberal churches don't like to hear that statement. You are God's enemy before you got saved. And God, and also in relationship to that, God treated you like an enemy. And again, I hate to keep beating a dead horse because it is dead, but there's a local church here that has a sign on 19 says, God's not mad with you. Excuse me, you're an enemy of God. Amen. And you're on your way to an eternal hell without Jesus Christ. Yes, yes. Don't steal my scripture here. But... I don't even know if I have that one down here, but that's a good one. But they are, the world before you got saved were at peace with what? Not with God. They're at peace with the flesh. Because that's what they love. And they're hostile toward God. You don't believe it, right? Get on Fox News and be interviewed and shout that Jesus is the only way to the Father. And you'll find out how compatible you are with this world, right?
Yeah.
And so here we see the exclusivity of the gospel. There's only one way. And we're never going to compromise that. There's only one way to heaven. Now, unbelievers are enemies of God, but God is also the enemy of unbelievers. The enemy cannot end, this enmity cannot end unless and until the sinner repents and believes, places their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Psalm 7 verse 11 says, God judges the righteous and God is angry with the wicked every day. Ephesians 5, 6 says, let no man deceive you with any vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. And on the cross, Christ took our wrath that was intended for us as our substitute, and he gave us his righteousness that able to make us righteous and go to heaven. You do not, never will go to heaven because of good works. Right, you go to heaven because Christ was your substitute on the cross. And he took your wrath, right? And we work because we're saved. We don't work to get saved. Salvation has never been by works. It gives evidence and proof of that. So for us to be lost again, God would have to put Jesus back on the cross, impute his sin back to him, and impute the righteousness away from us, right? And give it back to Christ. Now that's never going to happen. I don't care what state, New York, California, Portland, that's never going to happen. And it's never going to happen that way. I like what Hebrews 7:25 says. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. That's one of my favorite verses. Save us to the uttermost. He's not talking about saving people in China, saving people in Russia, saving people in Thailand to the uttermost. He's talking about to the end, right? And he says, them that come unto God, what? By Christ. If you don't come to God by his son, Jesus Christ, you don't have any assurance whatsoever, right? And so, notice what he says, seeing he ever. Why is he able to save us to the uttermost? Seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Christ made intercession for us on the cross, and right now he's making intercession for us. As Brother Joe talked about last week, he's our advocate. He intercedes for us, right? Even right now in heaven, he's interceding for us, and he ever lives to make intercession for us. And the only way that we can lose our salvation is Christ was to die, or he was to leave heaven and said, I ain't going to have no part of this no more, you know. And that ain't going to happen, right? So doesn't this make you happy tonight? Not happy enough to dance, but doesn't it make you happy tonight? Hebrews 8:12 says, for I will be merciful to the unrighteous, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. See, once you got saved, folks, all that's under the blood, right? The penalty of sin is taken away, and you're in the process and sanctification, having the power of sin taken away. And one day in glorification, when we get to heaven, we're going to have the presence of sin taken away. And I'm looking forward to that, a day where I will not sin. And I know what y'all are thinking. I wonder what Brother Ken done. Well, I sin just waking up, you know. And Colossians 1, verse 19 and 20, lengthy, but I want to read it to you. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell, and having made peace through the blood of the cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself. By him, I say, whether it be the things on the earth or the things in heaven. In verse 21, and you, who were sometime or time past alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. Let me read that again. If you don't think you're going to make it to heaven and you're genuinely saved, remember, the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. And I know what you're talking about. You say, well, I can take myself out of the hand of Jesus. Well, you can do something impossible because he said, no man can take you out of my hand. I like to call that, Brother Glenn, double security. We're in the hand of Jesus and Jesus is in the hand of the Father. And I don't think the devil ain't going to get to me. Now, he can rob me of my joy. He can defeat me, you know, in my mind and things like that and accuse me. But what? We have an advocate at the right hand of the Father, right?
That's right.
who's taking care of those accusations. Okay? So the first reason tonight why the saved will never be lost is because we have, from justification, we have peace with God. Now, again, that's in the relationship. Peace of God is our daily fellowship, okay? We have peace with God. What do I mean? The sin barrier between us and God that makes us hostile toward one another has been broken down by the payment that Jesus made on the cross and our faith in him. Amen? Amen. Now, you can go through life living defeated all you want to, but I want to tell you, I'm blessed. Amen. I've been justified. I have peace with God. And because I have peace with God, why? I cannot have peace with this world. If you love the world more than you do God, then we got a problem, right?
That's right.
And I wonder tonight, maybe you're going through life and you just stay defeated all the time. You need to understand Romans 5, 1 through 11. And I hope you come back to get the rest of them. There's five others that flow out of the doctrine of justification. And the one that blesses my heart is justification, because with that, number one, we have peace with God. And so I may slip and I may fall, but he's never going to impute my sin back to me again and condemn me, right? Now, you can condemn yourself all you want to, but you don't understand the divine work of Jesus on the cross and in your heart. All heads bowed, all eyes closed. We're going to cut it short tonight because of conference. But as our musicians come, I want to invite you tonight to fully understand this first one, because it's from where the other doctrines flow from. We have peace with God. Next week, we'll see that we stand in grace. And folks, I want to tell you something tonight. You can know you're saved. 1 John says, I write these things that, my little children, that you may know you have salvation. People tell me sometimes, says, well, I just don't think people can know they're saved. Like Catholics, they confuse justification with sanctification, and they don't think they can really know till they get to heaven. And so sad that if they believe Catholic doctrine, they're not even going that way. But I'm telling you tonight, you can know that you're saved. Read the little book of 1 John. And we can know in Romans chapter 5, verse 1 through 11, that we're saved, because if we're justified, we have peace with God. That's the first reason. So tonight, whatever your need is, the altar is open. You're welcome to come. Maybe you've been struggling with assurance. Maybe it's because you're not saved. Maybe it's because you don't fully understand the depth of the salvation that happened on Calvary 2,000 years ago. But I want to tell you tonight, you can know that you're saved. No need to live a defeated life. When Ken Burgess closes his eyes in death, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt I'm going to open my eyes in heaven. And I'm going to see my Lord and Savior. Why? Because he has justified me and he has given me peace with God. It's an act of God, instantaneous at salvation. It's not earned by good works. It's earned by grace through faith in the work of his Son. Father, tonight I pray that you do your divine work in the hearts of these present. Lord, give us the full assurance. That's what we want. We don't want a doubt. We want full assurance that we are children of God. And we'll get that this coming weeks here in Romans chapter 5, 1 through 11. And then if anybody else after that doubts their salvation, I've done all I can do. So I depend upon your Holy Spirit to do a divine work in their heart. And we ask these things in the name of Jesus. And all God's people said, Amen.
All right, before we get your hymn books, turn the page.